Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Today's show with Andy and Randy with you here on a happy hour Friday. A snow day Friday coming to you from two different locations as Randy is in Lilburn. I'm here in Midtown. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, man, all good up here in snowy-ass Lilburn. As, boy, I swear, we got more snow than I thought we would, dude.
Yeah, it really happened.
And you know when, you know, and your kids will get a little older when they know it's Christmas time and they wake you up at a certain time like my kids still do. Uh-huh. And at 8 o'clock, everybody downstairs, snow pants, jackets, boots.
Yep.
Like, couldn't wait to go out in the snow. You know, my wife's like a big old child when it happened. So, and obviously, take the dog out and everything. So, yeah, it's been an eventful morning over here with all the snow, man. But if you're out there, man, y'all be safe. I've seen videos of cars stuck on the highway and things like that. So, and I talked to Bo. I was like, how's the drive in? So, y'all just be careful out there if you're going somewhere. And if you don't got to go nowhere, you got the Odyssey app. We talked about it yesterday. Alexa, play 92.9.
Make sure you say the point.
Yep, that's all you got to say. Make sure you say the point.
You get that point in there.
But yeah, man, all good. How was your night?
It was good. It was good. We ran the streets of Midtown a little bit.
I know. I got the picture.
Oh, there was a picture? Oh, jeez. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So things, y'all don't remember you sending me a picture, huh?
Things were fun. Okay. Yeah. No, we had a good time. We went out and watched the football game and over there at McRae's. And then that kind of closed a little early. And then went to the 11th Street Pub and kind of had some fun over there. And it was good, man. It was a good time. And what a good football game that was.
What a quarter, I'll say that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, right. It wasn't like the most entertaining first half of football, right, but that fourth quarter was fantastic. Huge plays all over the place. Huge mistakes, obviously. Huge one at the end by Drew Aller. And Notre Dame's going to the national championship, man. And as much as I feel like they're obviously very good, I think that they have flaws as well, but can't take anything away from them. They've won 3 games in the playoff to get there, and they're going to the national championship with a chance to win a title for the first time in a really long time for that school.
Yeah, man. I mean, you look at, you know, the way the game broke down, and both quarterbacks made big mistakes, but Drew Aller's mistake was the worst. And, you know, you can't be backpedaling and come back to a dig route throwing off your back foot. I mean, that's a disaster waiting to happen, and it was. And I know I see a lot of people blaming James Franklin. I'm not mad at him for being aggressive. You know,
no.
I mean, who wants to go in the damn overtime? You know, if you can get an opportunity to make some plays, it was just a bad throw by his quarterback. But, yeah, I mean, Notre Dame has done what they needed to do. And I give Marcus Freeman a lot of the credit having this team bounce back, because we were all over them after you lose to Northern Illinois at home. And they haven't lost since. And this team, they follow the mold of their quarterback. He's a tough somebody, you know, and he made the plays when he needed to make the plays. Obviously, the sprint out, finding the receiver to get the first down, getting him to a closer field goal range was big. But, yeah, I mean, this team, you know, I think if they win it, you'll say a team of destiny or something like that. I mean, they still have one more game to play next Monday. But I thought that, you know, just overall the way he coaches this team, he talked about they some savages. They don't blink. You know, you look at the way they ran the football. I mean, Love coming off a bad knee. I mean, these dudes, Andy, they wanted it. I mean, and I won't say they wanted it more than Penn State, because Penn State had their opportunity. Singleton was outstanding.
Yeah.
I just thought Allen was just – he was just off the whole game.
Yeah.
It just wasn't – I mean, that was a bad throw. But just he had a touchdown to Singleton. It was a lot like the Saquon Barkley play against the Eagles.
Yeah.
It was a bad throw. Well,
bad
throw. I'm sorry.
No, he's got to catch it.
He got to catch it.
Yeah,
though, you know what I mean? But you
got
to give him a better shot. But I just thought overall, just Notre Dame's toughness, their grit, allowed them to win this football game.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, one of the things that has sort of stood in their way when they've gotten into these big stages over the last, you know, I don't know, 15 years or so, they've been close, and Brian Kelly had some good teams, is they would get into these battles against the SEC schools or the blue blood schools, and they wouldn't have the toughness to be able to compete. I mean, they'd get pushed around at the line, and they would get blown off the field, and that's just not this team right now. It's interesting that in their last 2 wins, obviously Georgia and then Penn State last night, coaches deciding to be aggressive at the end of games or at the end of halves or whatever, they were able to take advantage of that and win the game because of it, obviously. I mean, that turnover that they forced at the end of the first half against Georgia, I mean, that tilted the whole scale of the game. And then, of course, yesterday with Aller and Penn State trying to, whatever they were trying to do, drive down the field, maybe get into field goal range, they made the play. Now, Aller said he was trying to throw it away or trying to throw it at the feet of his receiver.
Why?
Yeah, if you're going to do that, just get rid of it, man.
Yeah.
Like, you don't try to throw it away over the middle, yeah, backpedaling into coverage.
But
so,
I mean, the two things you can't do in that situation is take a sack and a turnover.
Yeah.
You know, and
even a sack would be bad, but it wouldn't be as bad as the turnover.
Exactly, because you still have an opportunity to possess the ball, punt the ball away, and play in overtime. But, yeah, I ain't buying that right there.
I know. That's what he said. I was like, really? Like, you were trying to throw it at his feet? Like, why? Well, if that's true, just fire it into the sideline and live to play another down,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're rolling away from the play. Yeah. You're getting pressured.
Yeah.
You throw a backside dig.
It's a weird
dig.
Thing to say. Weird yeah. thing to say. It doesn't yeah. ultimately doesn't matter one way or the other, but a weird thing to say. And he ended up with that one interception. He had two other ones also
yes.
that they called back. I mean, yes. he threw to – yeah, I get it. You want to throw to Tyler Warren no matter what. The man was in quadruple coverage. Yeah. Now, the Notre Dame player did foul him. I think they probably were going to pick it off anyway, but they fouled him and they called it and all that. But, yeah, not a performance befitting of a trip to the national championship for no. Drew Aller. And ultimately, you know, I want to put it all on one guy, but,
right.
you know, that throw obviously had a big to do with it. And his play overall in general in the game just wasn't good enough.
No, and it goes back to, you know, their path. How good were they? You know,
yeah.
people
yep.
want to keep throwing it out. SMU, Boise State, everything like that. Then you play a team equal to or better, and you just don't win. And his record shows that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but, you know, we talked about this months ago about his record, talking about James Franklin against, you know, whatever ranked teams. It's like, well, how many of those times has he had the better team?
Right.
And right now, you know, he's gonna eat it and everything like that because, you know, his record, it is what it is. Andy, you can't – I mean, it is what you are what your record is when you talk about going against top opponents. But, yeah, Notre Dame, you know, going back to, you know, I mean, because they've been in the playoffs. They've been in
sure.
the 14 playoffs.
Sure.
They've been in the BCS. They just get – like
they
you said,
they get
beat.
Yeah, they get pushed around and they get smoked.
Yeah, and this team is just not for that.
Yep.
You know, they're not for that. They are talking about, you're going to hit us, but we're going to hit back. And they did a lot of hitting back last mm-hmm. night. And I thought, you know, just the way that – and another thing, Aller, no completions to receivers?
Not a like, single one.
Not a single one. We're talking about Georgia need
yeah.
receivers. Damn, James Franklin better get his ass in that portal.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about how, you know, unimpressive the Penn State receivers were. But I didn't think they'd have no catches.
No catches.
You know what I mean?
Zero.
Now, he only had 12 completions on the night anyway, and half of them went to Tyler Warren, which – I have no problem with.
At all.
Throw the ball to that guy more. Like, he only had 6 catches. He could have had – I would have thrown it to him twice as many times as they did. And they snapped it to him, and he was going to throw it. Like, that dude's just a baller.
Yes,
that
he
ball, like, he gets the ball in his hands, and he just makes plays. Yeah, no, I was impressed with the way Notre Dame came out in the second half because I don't think they played great in the first half. But the way they came out of halftime, they had a much different intensity, you
mm-hmm.
could tell.
Yep.
And I think it comes back to their coach, man.
Like, always.
I just think that guy is – he's one of the guys. He's one of the coaches. And obviously you got to win a national championship to kind of really get in the – like the ultimate club. But
mm-hmm.
he's, at his age, to be mm-hmm. doing what he's doing, and
mm-hmm.
he's just established such a culture there so quickly – and we were talking about it yesterday, kind of having some fun with it. You were spot on. Like he wasn't messing. He was furious about that press conference.
Oh yeah,
he thought James Franklin was like really like kind of condescending, and like he was really fuming about it. Some of his players talked about it after the game. He was like, "Yeah, like basically James Franklin basically patted him on the head and told
That's
him
he
was doing a nice little job."
That's what he did.
And he was furious about it. He was like, "All right, we'll see." We'll see. We'll see who's doing a nice little
and then
job
tomorrow.
You think
tomorrow. About something, Bunk, but your leader goes down, the backup comes in,
yeah, yeah.
plays well,
played great, yeah,
played well,
yeah.
played really well.
But comes in, he's slinging it all over the place.
Yeah, but, I mean, the way that, and that's why I was like, damn, look at this press conference. Like he really, like he up there, little boy. In
yeah, him. Like what is James Franklin thinking?
Yeah,
like he doesn't have the clout for that. He didn't want anything either. You know what
right.
I mean? Like
right.
you and Marcus Freeman are in the exact same boat right now, my friend. Like this is as far as either one of you have ever gotten. Freeman's just done it a lot faster. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like maybe if you're a little bit more even, a more established coach wouldn't have done that. But anyway, it is Notre Dame in
yeah,
the
man.
National championship against either Texas or Ohio State. We'll find out tonight. One other piece of and we'll talk about this throughout the show, but the Carson Beck news. right after we get off the air yesterday. Thanks a lot, Carson. guess he's not going to the NFL after all. He's hitting the transfer portal.
Smart move by him.
Yes.
And
we talked
about
this like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Like, why would you? I mean, okay, I understand you want to go to the NFL, and, you know, I got a chance. And so, you know, you see the reaction and everything, and you're like, wow. Well, I was like, y'all surprised that Carson Beck went to the transfer portal? Like, and I text Rusty and everything. I was like, why are people acting surprised? This is a great move by him. And they were like, well, and some people are assuming they're like, well, he got some bad news from the NFL. What the hell did he think was going to come back from the NFL? I mean, what did you think that they were going to say? You're not. I mean, you're coming off of elbow surgery and a up and down senior season.
Right.
Why would they think that? Oh yeah. We think he could be a first or second rounder. No. I bet that grade came back sixth or seventh.
Yeah, probably.
I promise you it did.
Probably.
Yeah, but I'm not. I mean, I'm happy for Carson. It just seemed like, and maybe I'll be overthinking because I'm on the inside of it and everything like that. But it just seems like that Georgia didn't want him back. You know what I mean? Like, people was like, did he have an opportunity? That whole thing after he got hurt was just with that article and everything like that. It just seemed like it was bad blood.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. It does. I not knowing the full scope of it, right? Not knowing all the details, just sort of reading between the lines and picking up on some of the stuff people said in that article and other things you hear. Totally agree. It feels that way. And I feel like this confirms it. Like, I mean, they wanted him back, then he would just go back, right?
Right.
I mean, if he's going to play college football next year, I mean, Georgia's a college football team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if they wanted him back, then he wouldn't go in the transfer portal. I understand that they thought he was going pro, and he thought he was going pro, and they made the pivot to Stockton, and they've got Puglisi, and so their quarterback situation is pretty solid. But, yeah, I mean, the fact that he's transferring, I think, confirms all that stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
It just seems like it. It really does. And, I mean, you look at the same thing happened like this time last year with Cam Ward.
Yeah.
Well, Cam Ward went to a better situation.
Right.
He went from Washington State to Miami.
Right.
Where the hell is Carson going? Is he going to go to Ohio State or something? I'm pretty sure he's going to Miami.
Miami, yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's going down
same
there.
Same place.
You know? And I think that's a great get for them. I'm not saying that he's going to have the impact on this team like Cam Ward did, but he's better than what they damn got because you saw the backup in that bowl game.
Right.
And I think, you know, once, you know, they're having a good year and everything, and they'll have one of those sit-downs with him, and, you know, they'll ask him about why not go back to Georgia and everything, he'll probably come out and say, you know, I just want to – don't say I want to go somewhere so I can win, but, like,
want to play.
I want to play.
They already reallocated the NIL money to Gunnar Stockton.
And so
I'd like Miami to give me some of that.
Yeah.
I mean, plus my girlfriend goes there.
Yeah. you got what you wanted and everything like that. But, yeah, because I saw he was going in the transfer portal with a no contact.
Right.
And so meaning that he already kind of knows
where he's going. He knows where he's going.
Yeah, he knows where he's going. You know,
and honestly, think about it. Like, okay, say he goes out and gets drafted in the sixth round. He's going to get more NIL money if he's a starter at Miami next year.
Yes.
Plus, now him and his girlfriend can do way more TikTok videos, and they're probably going to get a lot of money off that, too. Like, honestly, he's going to make so much more money off NIL and TikTok next year than he would have made if he went to the NFL.
There's no doubt. And then he'll be the starter.
And he'll be the starter. Exactly.
Yeah, maybe he'll be the starting quarterback. I wasn't surprised. I'm happy for Carson and everything like that because he made the right decision. I mean, any decision you make that you feel is, you know, your decision is the right decision. But I think personally that he made the right decision by coming back.
Totally. He needs to play college one more year.
Yeah.
Play up to the level that we've seen flashes of. If he does that, then his draft stock will be right back up.
Yeah.
Plus also show that he's healthy coming off the injury and all that.
Yeah, because he's not going to be – they're talking about he's not going to be a thrower until training camp.
Yeah, he's not going to be able to throw till like May.
Because that's what happened with Purdy, right?
Yeah.
Because Purdy got hurt like later on.
Yeah, in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Crazy. All right. This hour is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. PADLYBuys.com. We'll come back. We'll get into what's trending here to kick off the show on a happy hour Friday. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
As long as 49. Aller hit as he throws. And it is intercepted. Ugh. Christian Gray picks it off. Attempt. Snap and holder, good. The kick is good!
And there you have it. Notre Dame takes down Penn State last night in the first of the two college football playoff semifinals. They're now in the national championship game coming up on the 20th here in Atlanta. We'll find out tonight who they're going to play against. Texas and Ohio State play tonight in the second semifinal. And, yeah, you said it. It was kind of a sluggish three quarters and an awesome fourth quarter. And, look, ultimately a fun game if you don't have any skin in the game. Now, if you're Mike Conte,
yeah.
I don't think that was a very – the first thing I thought of when Aller threw that interception, I was like, oh, man, like he's in the building. What a horrible way for that game to end for Penn State fans and Mike Conte specifically.
That's why it's hard for me to travel. You know, go see the Dogs play because I'm mad as hell. I pay all that money and they lose.
Yeah.
Like I've went.
At least he's in Miami.
I think I've been to like three games, on a road game, and they won all three of them.
Oh, thank goodness.
But yeah, I was like,
yeah, there's nothing worse than traveling all the way wherever the hell you travel to. You take the L, and it's like, damn, now I'm in Tempe.
Yeah.
Now what do I do?
Yeah, at least he's in Fort Lauderdale.
At least he's in a nice place.
Yeah, man. But I mean, that's just brutal, man. But like you said, that last quarter. I mean, I just talked about it earlier. That damn Julian, that Love run,
dude.
That dude. With the knee brace on.
He's a good player.
He's a good-ass player,
and I know
player,
he's
man.
Dealing with the knee and all that, but, like, he jumped over a guy. What's he doing?
I want to get in this end zone. Yeah. I want this grass right here, all right? But, no, it was such an entertaining quarter for all the ups and downs. And, you know, we talked about yesterday, Riley Leonard has to throw the ball to give them a chance in their thing. Big-time throw he had. Big-time catch and route by the receiver.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know,
he made some mistakes too.
But like, that's
he
what
made
I'm saying.
A couple bad throws.
He had like, you think about in the fourth quarter the interception he had, and you're like, oh yeah. No.
What a play that was too by the Penn State player.
But you're like, oh no.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then it's like, okay, you know, he's gonna get a lot of the blame. I'm not mad at James Franklin. I probably would have been aggressive too right there, Bonk. I mean, but then you look at it, I would have ran the ball again. Because
yeah.
The first run, they had, what was it, like 15 yards on the first down run?
Excuse me for not knowing. Did they have any timeouts at that point? I don't remember.
I think they had one.
Because that's what they should have done.
Yeah.
Because Singleton and Catron Allen were both doing a great job on the ground. And Aller had been, I know, that was technically his first interception. But he threw two other ones that got called back on penalties. So,
yes.
Yeah. Like, that's the part of it that I disagree with. Like, I don't disagree with being aggressive. But I feel like you got to be aggressive with the right guys. I would have had it in Singleton or Allen's hands or whatever you got to do to get it to Tyler Warren. I mean, direct snap it to him. Let him play quarterback. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I would have trusted that more than Aller. Letting Aller throw it there ultimately proved to be a bad choice.
And I saw the clip when Greg McElroy was like, he's not going to make mistakes. He's going to make mistakes right before that pick. You're like, ooh.
The announcer jinx.
Brutal.
The old announcer jinx.
Brutal, but yeah.
So I guess he's going to be coming back then. Because remember, he
announced it before the playoffs that he was coming back.
I know, but then there was all the little rumblings of like, if he plays good and they win the national championship, he might go to the – not so fast.
Nah, bro. It's going to be a long offseason for Cuz.
Yeah.
It is.
Real, I mean, honestly, like, think about it. Like, hopefully he has a moment or two next year that are better than that one was bad so he can be remembered for something. But, like – that's a throw that's going to live in infamy in Penn State football history.
Oh,
like,
no doubt about it, man.
It was a tie game in the semifinal. Who knows what happens in overtime?
You might win. 33
seconds, Bunk. Yeah, man.
33 seconds left in the game.
Sports are brutal.
Yeah, man.
Unforgiving and brutal.
Left in the game, 33 seconds, and you give them a short field to go and kick the game-winning field goal. And shout out to Notre Dame's kicker, man. This dude has been money in the playoffs.
He has.
He had a rough season, but, I mean, he's been money all year. But, I mean, it goes back, and we'll talk about it a lot. It goes back to their head coach, man, and him being able to galvanize the troops and everything like that and just have his team, you know, right where they are in the position four quarters away from the first national title in, since, what, 88?
Yeah.
You know, and so, I mean, obviously, you know, they have deficiencies and everything, but they just play tough. They play hard. They believe in each other. They fight for each other. And they got a leader at quarterback that, you know what, when the play needs to be made, he's going to find a way to make the play.
Yep.
And that's what he did last night. We're talking about the sprint pass. But you saw just like against Georgia, we're going to give you the football, and we're going to let you go win this football game.
Yep.
We're going to run it with you. We're going to do all those things. Because I'm sitting there watching the game, and I'm just calling, oh, here comes the quarterback. Here comes the quarterback draw. Mm-hmm. Here comes the quarterback counter. They didn't care.
Nope.
They didn't care. Yeah, we're gonna give this big body quarterback the ball, and we're gonna give him opportunities to make plays, and that's exactly what he did.
And a lot of times he did. I like watching him play. Honestly,
me too.
I enjoy watching Riley Leonard play.
Me too.
He has the ball in his hand. He makes something happen.
He's like Haynes King to me.
Yeah,
I just like watching him play.
Yeah, yeah. Man. No, I agree. Yeah. I agree. You got Texas and Ohio State tonight. We'll spend a bit more time on that game in about 10 minutes as we look ahead to it and preview it a little bit. I mentioned it in the first segment. Carson Beck's not going to the NFL. He's going to the transfer portal. He's going to play college football somewhere else other than Georgia next season. And all signs kind of point to Miami. Kind of makes sense. They need a quarterback. His girlfriend goes there, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Man, if you would have given me the choice between what's more likely, Carson Beck wins the Heisman or Carson Beck plays college football next year, not for Georgia, at the beginning of the year, I guess I probably would have said transfer because everybody transfers.
You're going to see a lot more.
I've been like, yeah, guys transfer.
You're going to see a lot more of this. You know what I mean? You're going to see a lot more of these guys that come in as far as like quarterback, especially quarterback, and have high grades and then come in and don't have the best season and maybe have some eligibility left. And then you look at it from the university's perspective. Yeah, we would like you back, but we might have other options. Okay, well, I go somewhere because you can't overlook the experience of a quarterback like Carson Beck.
Nope.
Just like you couldn't overlook it in Campbell or any of these quarterbacks that are transferring around that's played all this ball. You know, especially when you're not sure about your incoming starter or whoever it is, because you look at it from a standpoint. Yeah, I know this guy's a 5-star high school quarterback.
Right.
But
I've seen this guy play in college.
I've seen this guy
for 3 years, and I know he can do it.
Yeah.
I mean, tonight is an example, too. Like, a lot of rumors that Quinn Ewers, no matter kind of whether they win, lose, whatever, Quinn Ewers is going to play someplace else next year.
I don't ever want to put 100% on anything, but I would be shocked if he didn't do that.
Yeah.
I'd be shocked if Quinn Ewers didn't transfer after the season. I would be, because, I mean.
Where do you think?
Huh?
Where do you think?
I said a couple weeks ago, I think I said Oregon.
Yeah, I think Oregon too.
Yeah, I said Oregon a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
But I can honestly see him doing the same thing, because that's Arch's job.
Yep.
Unless Quinn wins the national championship, then we'll talk.
But
then
if he wins the national championship, then Arch
would be at Oregon. Because you can't bench the man if he wins the national title, right?
I don't think so. But also, if he wins the national title, wouldn't his draft stock maybe rise? Like, couldn't he potentially?
No, your skills are your skills.
Yeah, no, I know. I've said what I think about him. I hope he does go to Oregon, actually.
Right.
I think that would be great.
Yeah, his skills are
Washington.
His skills, man.
Exactly right. All right, Terry Fontenot had his press conference yesterday. I know we reacted to quite a bit of it. Didn't get a chance to hear all of it because we were on the air. Now, having heard a bit more of it, we did the Kirk Cousins stuff and kind of gave our thoughts on that. I think you and I are on the same page about I understand what they're saying. I highly doubt Kirk Cousins will be the Falcons' backup next year. We'll see, but kind of doubt it. Here's Terry Fontenot just kind of assessing how he's done in his job.
Well, first of all, I'm going to be real clear that we haven't done a good enough job. I haven't done a good enough job. We haven't won enough. And so when you haven't won enough, it starts with me. That's my job to make this team a consistent winner. And I haven't done a good enough job. It's my job to help everyone in the building be as effective as they can in their roles so we can win more games. We haven't done a good enough job of that.
Yeah, that's right.
What the hell was that in the background?
Was that
a sneeze?
Somebody got a cold. I don't know.
What the hell was that? Like a damn bash note. Damn.
That was Joe Patrick, probably.
Probably was.
Yeah.
Probably was.
That was a fake sneeze just to try to throw Terry off.
Yeah, but no, he's absolutely correct.
He is.
The great thing about both of these pressers, it wasn't but the future's bright. It wasn't none of that.
They struck the right tone.
It was all about accountability.
Yep.
It's all about accountability in both pressers. And he's absolutely right. I have not done a good enough job to put the players on the field or in the locker room so Rock can coach them. He's absolutely 100% correct. Now, the whole Kirk Cousins thing, it's hard to defend him because of the money, but nobody saw that.
No.
Nobody saw Kirk falling off the way he did, and he did. And so, you know, you got to look at that from a standpoint, and we were having some fun yesterday with it about, you know, sitting down with Mr. Blank in his office or at his house or whatever and trying to explain to him why I got to give $90 million to Kirk Cousins for 14 games.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean? Like, why shouldn't I fire you?
All right, put some lipstick on this pig real quick.
Yeah, man. Make me feel better.
Because giving away $90 million for nothing is a hard sell.
And I'm telling you, the when we talk about the letterhead, when you're typing out whatever, is Michael Penix.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Penix. I drafted this guy.
You see how he played? And you see who he was handing it to? I drafted that guy, too.
And you see the guy he's throwing it to? I drafted that guy too.
What about Kyle Pitts? Don't talk about Kyle Pitts.
No. Yeah. Because we're still working with him. We're still trying to get him to where he needs to be. Yeah, right.
Don't talk about him. Just talk about those three guys. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right.
Those three games at the end of the season and those three guys. That's all we want to talk about. All right, we'll come back. We will we'll talk a bit more about Ohio State and Texas. Now, we're not at the boat show today because the weather's crazy. But the boat show is still happening. So if you want to go down there to the Georgia World Congress Center and see some boats and a bass fishing display and go indoor surfing because they got a surf simulator, you can do that. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, some yacht rock, huh?
That makes sense.
Nice job, Bo.
That makes sense. Now, we were going to be there.
Yeah.
We were looking forward to it.
Andy, a commercial just came on my TV. Man, it looks so dope down there, man.
For the boat show?
Yeah.
Dang it. Now, here's the good news. I know me and Randy aren't down there. 92.9 made a lot of very smart decisions, I think, over the last 24 hours, try to keep everybody safe and all that. Shout out to Mike Conti. I know a lot of folks are staying in hotels tonight so they can be safe here and work tomorrow and all that. I stayed down here last night. So we're not at the boat show, but the boat show is still going on. It is still going on at the Georgia World Congress Center. Courtney Earhart is joining us right now to talk about it. She's the show manager. Courtney, how are you?
Hey, Courtney.
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I know that people are wondering just sort of about with the weather and everything, but everything's going on as normal?
As normal, but safety is our first priority, so we want people to feel safe. And if they have purchased tickets, tickets are good for Saturday and Sunday also.
Okay, great.
Tell me something, Courtney, because, I mean, you know, when we talk about the boat shows and everything like that, how many purchases are people allowed to purchase boats while they're at this show, or is it something where you might have to go to another place to get it?
No, you can buy your boats here. You can't take them home from here, but you can't purchase your boats here. I think people have sold boats yesterday they started selling boats, so.
What are some of the, because I know, you know, we had been promoting it all week, and some of the other sort of things going on down there beyond just obviously 400 boats you can look at and buy one, like you said, but there's some other things going on down there that folks could check out as well.
Yes, we have a lot of little kids activities now. We have a surfing simulator. We have a gaming truck. We'll have face painting tomorrow and Sunday. We also have the bass fish tank that has fishing seminars. So it's all family friendly. And then we have Fred's Shed that teaches you how to repair your boat and introductions to your boats. Then we have the progressive giveaways. Lots of family-friendly items here.
Right.
Okay, Courtney, now, because when we heard this whole thing and we were going to be down there and you said they had the bass fishing thing, right?
Yes.
Is it like once you catch it, you put it back? Because I was going to bring my cooler down there with ice.
No. It's a catch and release program. So it's a big fishing tank. You catch it and then release, and then they have a bunch of fishing seminars, which young kids seem to really enjoy. So they try to make it family friendly, and it's one of our biggest attractions over there.
I see, because on our show on Fridays, it's happy hour. We encourage people to kind of get into the weekend spirit. I see you guys have a $5 after 5 admission and also drink special going on?
Correct. Yes, it's 5 after 5 today for a $5 ticket and a $5 drink.
There you go.
Well, okay. Well,
there you go. Happy hour.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's always happy hour. I mean, we all know that, Ms. Cordy. But what is like the, you know, I was always curious when you have these shows and everything, what, as far as boat wise, what's the most sold boat that you guys have? Is it, like, you know, is it a speedboat?
Pontoon.
Pontoon. Okay.
I want a pontoon.
Yeah,
so
we're
a
big, heavy pontoon show.
Love it.
I want
and
a
we
pontoon.
We also have a launching point this year for the first time in quite a few years where it's like, introductory boats, like entry-level boats for people who are just getting into boating and can't afford a really expensive boat. So we have about 6 boats from some of our dealers who participated in that area.
Like a rowboat?
No. Most of them are pontoons, but then we have a couple center consoles. Okay. But these are slower, like lower cost boats to get you into that entry-level boating because not everybody can afford a $100,000 boat when they first get into boating.
Right. Something for everybody.
Something for everybody.
We appreciate the time so much. We were really looking forward to being down there. Hopefully we can be down there with you next year. But thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Courtney.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Courtney Earhart there, the show manager of the Atlanta Boat Show. Again, boat show going on right now as we speak and going on all weekend. And one other thing, too, to mention, Family Day is Sunday, January 12th, this Sunday. So you can bring the whole family, the day pass for your entire family, 2 adults, 2 children is just $28.
Yeah, so. Man. I mean, I think, you know, because I never have been in it, you know, I want to buy a boat. But it's like every time I get on one, especially if I drive, it's like, damn.
Yeah.
Well, I went. But then you think about everything that goes with the boat.
Yeah.
And then you're like, yeah, I'm good.
I know. The exact same thing. Like,
yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I've had some rich teammates that bought boats and all of them regretted it.
Right. That's what I want. I just want a rich friend. I need a rich friend that has one that's willing to take us out on it from time to time so we get to take advantage of the benefits of the boat without actually doing any of the maintenance or upkeep or storage or anything like that.
Can you see my ass trying to sneak out there with some of them fish?
Yeah, no, I could. When she said catch and release, I could hear the disappointment in your voice. I was like, Randy's going to try to steal one of those fish.
I've been fishing plenty of times, Buck. I ain't never released. I don't care how small it is.
Yeah, catch and eat.
I don't care how small it is. Sucks for you. You should have jumped on the hook. I never put no fish back.
I like you asked her if they're selling rowboats.
Because she said low end. I'm like, what, rowboats? I didn't know.
For the folks that can't afford a $100,000 pontoon boat, you get out there a little rowboat.
Yeah.
You get some oars, and you'll be fine.
Because technically, you own a boat.
That's true.
Yeah, technically.
That's a great point. Like, what's the lowest level of boat that you can own and call yourself a boat owner? Like, can you, if you have a rowboat, you could say, yeah, I own a boat.
Yeah.
All right. What if you have, like, a canoe?
Why not?
What if you have, like, a paddleboard?
No, you can't. I mean, no. I'm talking about, like, the one, like, you... Oh. It's not a boat. It depends on the flex that you're trying to flex.
Yeah.
It's all about the flex.
I need a thumbs up or thumbs down from Randy on this one. Growing up, me and my brother and my parents bought it for us, had a styrofoam two-person sailboat.
So you owned a boat?
It was styrofoam.
You owned a styrofoam boat? Like, floated how deep though. Was the water y'all getting in the damn styrofoam boat?
Feels wildly dangerous.
It's a 25-acre lake. It's a little thing.
That seems like they might be trying to collect some insurance on y'all. damn styrofoam boat in the middle of a lake.
Yeah, just float Abe out there in that styrofoam boat. See if he makes it. All right. We'll get to a Cotton Bowl preview here in just a minute. Thanks for being with us.
It wasn't pictures. It was a bunch of texts you sent me last
night. Yeah. Because I was going through my phone. I was like,
where's the pictures? I said, oh, no, there's just a bunch of texts that he sent me last night.
Well, I just had to let you know because I met up with Jersey Mike. And last time we were hanging out with Jersey Mike, we were in Las Vegas, and he was ordering Vegas bombs.
Yes.
Now, I didn't know that that was something that you could get other places. Like, I didn't know that that was just a drink that you could order at bars. I thought the place we were at in Las Vegas just had them because it was on the menu, and you could get it. So he was like, I think I'm going to get a Vegas bomb. And I was like, haha, of course you're not really going
to
do that.
I mean, you remember what it did to you last time?
Yeah, right. Last time we were with him, he did. He had a couple of Vegas
bombs. What's in the Vegas bomb again?
Yeah, I found that out last night because I was like, oh, I'll have one with you. And then the bartender said what was in it, and I was like, never mind. I'm not doing that. It's Crown and some kind of mixer. And then what's the mixer? Is it cranberry juice?
Red Bull and peach.
Is it peach? Right? Yeah, and then Red Bull. And I was like, I'm not drinking any Red Bull.
Hell no.
It's like 11:45 at night.
Hell no.
If I drink Red Bull, I'm not going to sleep.
Ashley, seen your picture of the baby? They getting the snow yet?
Yeah, man. Okay. It's the worst thing ever. Like, I'm sitting here with Abe, no offense, and Bo, no offense. And my beautiful children are making snowmen for the first time in their lives, doing snow angels in the backyard, having the best time ever. I'm sitting here with Day-Day Garrett. You know what I mean? I've never had FOMO worse than I have it right now.
Right.
My family's at home having the best day ever in the snow. And I'm having fun, too. It would be really cool to be there.
Everybody's done with the snow. Like, Bash woke up by the time everybody got to get done. So he's at the window like, I want to go out and play in this.
Yeah, of course.
And so everybody's in the shower. I mean, it's already been done. The whole hot tub thing and everything. And I got in, Andy, because this is why. All right. She knows what she's doing. Okay. So they went out there to snow clothes and everything. So I go upstairs to get something. Uh-huh. And she's putting on her bathing suit. And like most men, when you see your wife like that, you're like, you know,
there's really only two things you can do at that.
Exactly.
Point.
So I was like, you know me, Google eyes. And then she hit me with you want to get in the hot tub? Yeah.
Yeah, I get in the hot tub.
Yeah, I get in there with you, baby.
Yeah, I get in there with you.
Yeah, so I got up in there. It's pretty, it's all right, man. It's all right. But yeah, you know how women do us, man. And that's why they do what they do. She knew I was coming upstairs.
Yeah.
to get some Q-tips, but she knew it and everything like that. And so, but yeah, it's like I said, it's raining now, so it's starting to melt a little bit. So if you're out there, I know I talked. I mean, Abe, how was your drive in?
He came in real early. Okay. I think he came in before it got too bad. Now, okay. I drove from the hotel. Literally, it was two blocks.
Right.
But I drove from the hotel to where I park over there, you know, near the station.
Right.
And just that by itself was like, dang, it's pretty sloppy out here.
The element going to be able to get home?
So I don't know. That's that's my current conundrum is you tell me what you think. Because I got three options, okay? I'm sure you can guess which one is the least popular with my family.
Okay.
So option number one is there is a hotel room available. Okay. Bo and Abe and other people are staying down here tonight so they could, because they got shows to do tomorrow and stuff like that. So I could stay in Midtown at a hotel with my friends and, you know, who knows? It's Friday, hang out. Or I could get in the car and see how it goes. Mm-hmm. Try to get from here because it's not that far, you know. And I could either get on 75 or
take the streets,
or I could get on surface streets.
Take the streets, yeah.
Or I could walk.
Walk where?
Home.
From Midtown?
Yeah.
I like to see that. I like to see that. But see,
those are my three options.
Okay, so here's the thing about this. All right, so have you seen what's the movie? Look Who's Talking.
Yeah, two? I've seen that.
And you remember
I don't know
when
about
they were
two,
in
but I've seen the first one.
But you remember when they oh no, so you didn't say so they were in a taxi, right? Mm-hmm. They were going to get Jane. They were going to get Daddy. Mm-hmm. All right. And then like some wolves or something attacked with the dogs, and then here he comes out and rescues his family. If you would pop up on them, Andy, walking,
yeah,
man, you would never have to do nothing the rest of your damn life.
Problem is, it would take me probably until it was time for them to go to bed to get home. Like
No, it'd take longer than that, dog.
It would from 2 o'clock when we get off the air to walk to my house, I bet I could be home by 7.
From your house to Midtown, you think it's gonna take you 5 hours?
I bet I could do it in 5 hours.
You lost your damn mind.
You don't think I could?
Hell no.
It's only like 11 miles.
There's no way in hell. 11 miles in snow. And I'm assuming that you didn't bring
those
snow boots.
No, I did bring my snow boots.
Okay.
I did bring my snow boots, and I have my rainproof, my waterproof pants. Because yesterday I was like, you never know. I might have to get out there and brave the elements.
Man, just take the streets. Just drive. Well, drive slow. You might get there.
That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna drive very, very carefully.
Yeah.
If I get stuck, then I'll just walk from there.
Yeah, there you go, man. But yeah, don't walk. And I know that the whole thing. You got one night in the hotel room.
I know.
Yeah.
I already got one. Yeah. I'm not getting two.
Yeah, I don't think you go.
You
I don't think you can get two. And you got the side eye with the one problem.
Oh well, I had to do a lot of stuff just to do it. I put him to bed last night. Everybody was asleep. I didn't leave the house last night till like 9:30 to come down here. And the deal was, and I'll come back as soon as I possibly can when the show's over. If I call after the show and I'm like, yeah, you know what? I think I'm just going to make it two. Stay down here tonight. Mm. She's cooped up in the house with two little psychopaths.
Yeah.
And the dog. I don't think so.
Yeah, no, maybe it'll be good.
Yeah, I don't think that's so.
So, yeah, just
So, sure. Really, I have two options.
Play your cards right, dog.
I drive or I walk.
Yeah, play your cards right, man.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, I hope y'all be safe, man, because I know, like I said, I mean, staying down at a hotel in Midtown is when you single. I mean, obviously, Bo got babies and everything like that. But, yeah, it's like it'll be a party night right now, man.
Yeah, I would think so.
I mean, yeah, it's prime. Hey, there's going to be some prime real estate down there tonight, man.
Yeah, man.
I hope you brought your good clothes.
People act different in the snow.
They do.
Like,
they really, really do, Bonk.
It's a great opportunity. Like, just like inhibitions are out the window. People are just out to have a good time, Abe. So, tonight.
This is the thing, Abe.
In Midtown.
Yes.
Tonight could be the night.
Tonight's the night, Abe, but you better not wear them damn mittens.
You might meet. Yeah, that's true.
You better not wear no damn mittens, all right?
You guys are the mitten thing is for real cold. Like, you don't need mittens here.
And and don't wear no damn shorts, Abe.
I do have nicer clothes. I have jeans and a long sleeve polo, and we're all right.
Oh, so you're ready. Oh, so Abe already was ready for
you
this.
You never knew what the plan was.
There you go. Super underdressed. I brought another T-shirt and some drawers.
Well, yeah, but you are, you know. You're in a
long-term
committed relationship. Oh. Abe's out there trying to find something to stay warm with, you know?
Mittens?
Not mittens. Something a little snugger fit than that.
Do you have earmuffs, Abe?
No.
Okay.
I would wear like a beanie or something.
Okay.
But
all right, okay.
Yeah,
all
right.
You guys misunderstand. The mitten thing, like, it gets cold enough in places where you can't have your fingers separated. Like, it just doesn't... laugh. You can laugh all you want.
That's a wild sentence.
Go to Cleveland.
I don't want
stand out in negative 25 degrees
no.
for 2 hours with a dog that doesn't get cold.
Everything about that
with your
awful.
Fingers separated because of gloves. And Randy, tell me you didn't wish you had mittens.
I don't want to do that.
Now look, I would get frostbite in my damn knuckle.
You get frostbite
before I put on some damn mittens.
Look, they're dude mittens. They got like a camo background. They're, you know?
They're hard-ass mittens, Randy.
You know, yeah, they are hard mittens, right? Randy.
There's some hard-ass mittens. Don't worry about his mittens.
Hey, man, I would get gangrene kind of frostbite.
What is the issue? Is it the name mitten in and
yes,
of itself?
It is definitely that name.
Like, that's a soft word.
It is.
Like, just the word mitten, you know?
Mittens. Oh, man. Breaking news, Buck. Deshaun Watson retours Achilles.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's brutal.
Yeah, man.
That's brutal.
I wonder if they'll trade for a quarterback.
Hey. We got one.
They still ain't going to trade for him.
We got one for you.
They still ain't going to trade for him.
Nah, I don't know what would have to happen.
That's the only thing, man. The word mittens.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. We'll come back. We'll get into an NFL no huddle. There's other NFL. That's interesting breaking news for sure. Huge weekend. 6 games. Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. We'll talk about all of them coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour, by the way, has been brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. PADLY buys.com.